And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And it must be the entrepreneurial spirit if it's the fourth Tuesday. The fourth Monday. And, of course, the first Monday. Well, you're going to be back-to-back, Leanne and Craig.
A week from today.
That is incredible. And, Leanne, welcome, of course.
Thank you.
Craig, welcome. I should
thank
say
you.
Leanne Hull. And, hey, you look really pretty. Look at that. You have a
thank
nice
you.
Outfit. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I'm not talking to the twin sister now. But, and you do look good, too, Craig Dean. Yeah. I just want to compliment you. You were our speaker at the Breakthrough Thinking Networking Lunch Friday at Rock Bottom.
Mm-hmm.
You were amazing. People need to hear you. That was inspirational. The people loved it. You had a lot of people talking to you at the end of the speech.
Well, it was interesting because I think Leanne probably more than any other person that has been in politics or business, whatever, opens up her heart fairly quickly to people. And it's pretty easy to get to know her because of that.
I think we all relate if we feel like you get to know someone, which is what I really try to do, is let everybody get to know me so that then you can be comfortable in your own skin. And that was my goal, make people comfortable so that their minds would open. When they're comfortable, then their minds are going to be open, and that's my goal.
Well, you know, not only that, I think it's refreshing for someone in politics to open up because then there's no secret agenda. They think they really know you. Am I right? I think that's a rarity.
You know, and I think that speaks of Thelda.
It does. Oh, thank
you. Thelda, we met with you one time, and you were so warm and gracious and open, and you don't find that very often.
Yeah. Well,
you must be from the Midwest.
I am from the Midwest.
Are you really? Where are you from?
I'm originally from Iowa.
Oh, I'm from Minnesota.
Well, there we go, sir.
Oh, yes, we do.
I know. I was wondering about that. It's a surprise.
It's a mystery guest.
It's a mystery
guest. Kurt can't believe it. He's wondering, who is Thelda Williams? It's like, where's Waldo? But where's Thelda?
Go ahead, Dave.
Well, we are honored to have Thelda Williams, the Vice Mayor of Phoenix and Councilwoman for District 1.
Yes.
This is, look, we have even some background music.
Oh, I was supposed to sing.
Attempted. That's right. Let's get the music on, Kurt, for our own Leanne Hull. I think.
Oh, yeah.
I am woman.
See?
Are we ready?
A surprise. Here we go.
I am woman. Hear me roar in numbers too big to ignore.
I think Leanne sounds better.
Well, we're going to have a contest. Which one is Leanne and which one is Helen Reddy?
Yeah. See? I love that. Well, it's really an honor to have you here.
Thanks,
and
Kurt.
The Phoenix, of course, the fifth largest city.
Yes.
You got your hands full, I'm sure, right?
It's a very busy time.
I don't even know where to start. I mean, where do you guys want to start? Because I looked at the website. It was really interesting. The things that the council is responsible for, you know, such as energy, housing, neighborhoods, public facilities, natural resources, transportation, land use, it goes on and on.
I want to know from Thelda what everybody seems to want to know. Even when they ask me, where'd you come from, what made you want to do this, and what do you want to accomplish?
Oh, well, I've been around for a long time.
Basically, give us your why.
Yeah.
Give us your why.
And by the way, I knew you would call on me. But I liked it because I was ready. How did I do? I did good,
you did
right?
good, Dave.
So did you, Craig.
Thank you.
I loved what you said. Okay.
I don't remember what I said.
It was good. We have it on tape. Oh, hold on. Go ahead.
Actually, I started as a neighborhood advocate.
Oh.
At down lobbying City Hall for more recreational facilities because of softball players in my family.
Gosh, we were just talking about the passion for baseball and softball. So and she has girls that played softball.
Really?
And we didn't have any fields in District 1. And I was a manager on one team, coach on the other, and they invariably played across town within a half an hour. So I started going to council, got very involved. Once you get involved, next thing you know, you're on a dozen volunteer citizens committees. And then I thought, well, heck, I can do this as good as those men.
Yay,
absolutely.
I like that.
Let's play that song again.
And ran for office and made it. And I enjoy making things happen for people. I really like being an advocate, and I still fill that role at the council. I feel very strongly for neighborhoods, really support them, try to get people involved. And get them motivated, because this is a great city.
It is great. It is.
We talk about that so many times, and I was thinking about the questions I'd like to ask them. It seems like we just focus on the negative, but Phoenix has so many. I went to the MIM yesterday afternoon for a concert. There are so many destination things to do in the city that have nothing to do with sports.
Absolutely.
And I would like to hear what you really feel about Phoenix, what you see our future as, and what it's like to be on a council where, you know, kind of those Midwestern roots where you mm-hmm. can be
roots,
so open.
Roots.
Whatever.
You can tell Midwest.
Exactly.
When you said roots, I thought just for men.
So a Midwesterner, what's it like coming to Phoenix and all of a sudden finding yourself on the city council? And you're probably from a small town.
Yes, I am. If we ever hit 10,000, it would have been a miracle. I think we claimed it, but I don't know if we ever made that population. But I learned that very quickly that most of the people here are from the Midwest, mm-hmm. I swear. And I think that's a benefit.
Oh, we don't swear in the Midwest.
We just don't, you know.
Oh, okay. You live in different parts than I do. But I think it brings it back to why people get involved here. And I think that's what makes us different, is we have built this city according to how neighborhoods and citizens wanted it and made it responsive to us instead of them telling us. And I feel very strongly that we need to make sure that continues.
Yes. You know, and I think that from the time having been raised, you know, I was born here, it has always had that small town neighborhood feel. It hasn't changed. We still run into the, isn't it a small world? And
mm-hmm. yeah.
how many people, you know, we're all connected so closely here. It's a great feeling.
There are no secrets in Phoenix.
No, oh my
aren't.
Gosh, no mm-hmm. kidding.
And speaking of no secrets, we have to mention La Traviata this weekend
yes.
with the Phoenix Opera. The Phoenix mm-hmm. Opera is our own, you know, different than the Arizona Opera, because that started basically in Tucson. But Phoenix Opera is our own. Gail Dubenbaum and her husband, John Massaro, both went to college at ASU. Gail was a renowned international opera star. John is a renowned international conductor. They came back to Phoenix to pour their heart and soul into the Phoenix Opera. And I just want to say that it's playing this weekend, Friday night and Sunday. And if you've never gone to opera.
And I never have. This
no.
will be my first time.
Leanne's going to
I'm
opera
going
for
Friday
the first
night.
Time.
I'm very excited.
Yes.
And it's at the Orpheum?
It's
yes.
at the Orpheum, yes.
Which
no.
is fabulous.
Oh, it's
place.
A, oh, it is oh, such a beautiful. Venue. Yes, it is closest thing to Fargo, North Dakota that I've ever seen.
So Thelda.
Oh, that'll warm, make everybody want to
yeah.
come, Greg. Good one.
So you were previously served on the council from 89 to 96.
Correct.
And then you became interim mayor in 94?
Right.
How was that experience?
Oh, I loved being mayor. That's when Paul Johnson resigned to run for governor. And
yeah.
I was selected by the council to be the interim mayor. And I was mayor for over 7 months. And I went in with an agenda, a four-point agenda, and I got it accomplished. I was...
That's amazing in 7
focus,
months.
Yeah. And just, well, one of the things I started was a small business assistance office, because I believe very strongly that small business is the key to our future.
Yes.
And the more we can help them and cut the red tape, and I made them work on financial ends, how we could help get loans, how we could help do marketing, business plans, whatever it was they needed. And it's still in existence today, so I'm pretty proud of that.
Great.
That is fabulous.
Yeah, what's your greatest strength that led you to become the mayor and be successful on city council?
Geez, that's kind of hard to say. I think because I can be very focused, I'm detail-oriented, but I can implement quickly, and I can usually have a vision of where we need to go with this, and so far it's worked well.
That, I think, is what differentiates small businesses from the large businesses and corporations, being able to implement quickly, that being able to move and turn that ship when it, you know, when it's in trouble and mm-hmm. move it. And I, that's why the health of our country is in small businesses.
That's our motto in this in
it
this
is.
Radio
the
show,
entrepreneurial
the entrepreneurial
spirit. It's all about that. We all have it.
Regard
here we go again.
That's easy for you to say.
we talk about the fact that the entrepreneurial spirit is not just about owning your own business. You can have that spirit even if you work for someone else. It's a state of mind. And the more that we can create that in people, the better off our country and everything, our neighborhoods will be.
Oh, I believe it, because I think status quo is never good enough.
No. I've always told my kids, if everybody else is doing it, don't come home and tell me that. You better not be doing it. Do something different.
So 94, 7 months, mm-hmm. and then it looks like you didn't get rejoin the city council till 2008.
Right. I ran against Skip Renza and lost, and worked for the sheriff.
Sheriff Joe?
Sheriff Joe, uh-huh. which was a real adventure.
Like a roller coaster ride?
Well, actually.
Tell us about that that e-ticket, as Leanne said at lunch. She likes to do the e-tickets.
Actually, it was one of the greatest experiences of my life, because he actually hired me in the beginning to start his first substance abuse treatment program for inmates. And I was able to do that, and it was very successful. We actually, first 4 years, we had a 16% recidivism rate. And you compare it to about 80% normal recidivism rate.
That's a hard
fantastic
word to say.
We become a national model. And then once he learned I could do things and implement, there was no end. We started the high school. I started he came in and says, I want to save the animals. So we created the MASH program, which is taking care of all the abused animals that are part of an actual case, mm-hmm. That the detectives went out, arrested people for abusing animals, but you got to keep them somewhere because they're live evidence. Mm. And you can't take them to the pound or anywhere because by law they have to destroy after so long, a couple weeks. So I then created an inmate training program on how to care for animals.
Wow.
They have that at Adobe, don't they?
They a little different.
Okay.
This is in the adult system down there. But it was healing both ways.
Yes, that's what I've heard. It's and really, really wonderful.
We had that's inmates amazing. Get inspired, and we had some corporations that then hired them to become groomers because we had taught them grooming. We had some that went on to become vet techs. Mm. Totally change lives.
It does. You know, there's something about dogs that, you know, I had the greatest dog in the whole
Brisket.
World. My dog's name was Brisket.
Not Brisket.
Yeah, what? He was so, there's not a day that doesn't go by. In fact, last night Ellen and I were up talking, and she said something negative about our dog.
Aww.
I said, how dare you talk about that way about Brisket? And he was the greatest. But
for those of you who don't know, Craig owned Miracle Mile Delicatessen for 26 years. So that's really kind of an interesting name for a dog.
I would have named the doggy like pastrami or corned beef.
You know, what's great about it is if I ever had a dinner party, I love to cook brisket. So when I'd be sitting, everybody come in, are we having brisket? Our dog would love those evenings because he thought we were talking about him.
So what happened to Brisket?
Brisket died.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Aww. It was very, very sad.
I can imagine.
Sad. Yeah, he was a wonderful dog.
You know,
but back to it's very healing.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
It's you know, you can tell any secret to a dog, and they still love you. They can't wait for you to get home, and they'll never rat on you.
Yeah.
I love that, especially being in politics.
Exactly. You can tell them the real details.
So other areas for Sheriff Joe, what else did you do? Because he saw that you can perform, and it sounds like you perform very well.
Well, Hard Knocks High was interesting to start the first high school in the adult jail system for juveniles.
Wow.
Oh.
And, you know, there's a lot of different laws that really it's difficult to have the juveniles in the adult system because of federal regulations, et cetera. But we managed to work them all out. We have.
Was this to get the GED or an actual
no.
a high school diploma?
They could do both.
Wow.
Depending on where they were. Mm-hmm. But so many of them are coming in that are way below. Mm-hmm. They haven't been in school for years. And usually what came to jail are graduates of Adobe Mountain. Mm-hmm. They'd worked their way through the juvie system, and then their crimes were such that they were being charged as adults. So it's very interesting, and my daughter happens to work down there now as a teacher.
At Adobe?
At the jail.
Wow.
And some of those more interesting cases that you read in the paper of some of these juveniles and their violent crimes. And she has them in class. Well, we even had classes where we had to handcuff them to the tables so that they were protected, the teacher was protected, they couldn't fight with one another, but they could still be in a classroom together and learn.
What does she think about her experience being a teacher down there?
Oh, I think she really, really enjoys it. I mean, she's taught at the university before and whatever, so this is kind of a new experience for her. But it makes a huge difference in their lives.
No kidding.
See, I don't find that so unusual. The nuns had to do that to me when I was in grade school.
Handcuff
you to the table?
We don't want to know, Craig.
Yeah, we don't want to know any of those stories or related stories to handcuffs. Anyway, when we come back from our break, we're going to continue our discussion with Vice Mayor of Phoenix and Councilwoman District 1, Thelda Williams. This is Entrepreneurial Spirit, starring Leanne Hull and Craig Dean. We'll be right back.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today. 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Entrepreneurial Spirit, starring Leanne Hull and Craig Dean. Leanne has a text, and she's not driving. That's good. The
sorry,
last Dad. Show was about text and driving.
Yeah.
But this is a text on the radio, so it's safer.
I have my seatbelt on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I have my handcuffs.
Yeah, we'll get you on Match No Match, the dating game for that one.
Still causing trouble, aren't you? Look at you.
And in studio, we have special in-studio guest, Vice Mayor Thelda Williams, District 1. And I think a lot of people might want to know, what are some of the priorities that the council is looking at right now? And I know that you have some of the planning going on, because I think there's a cutoff, 2012. You need the 10-year plan done.
Well, actually, we did get an extension.
You did? Good.
We did, and we have till 2015.
Oh, nice.
And so I am hoping that we rethink whether we push this through now, because when we did this years ago, we had a lot of neighborhood input, and not only in the villages, but we went out into the neighborhoods and asked what they saw the future was. And that didn't happen, and there isn't hardly any updates or changes in what they're proposing. We pass again, so why don't we do it right?
Why didn't that happen?
You mean that we haven't made the changes?
The neighborhood, yeah.
I think it's a combination of a couple things. One, because of the budget, we have really trimmed staff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they have the time to do it in depth like they did before. And I think, too, it's because it happened very quickly. And, I mean, the finances hit us 2 years ago,
right.
Boom, everything stopped, and time just slipped away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, because we have the extension now, we do have the time, and it could be, a lot of it could be done by volunteers with a minimal staff time.
Do you find through the years that you've been on city council, interim mayor, now back on the city council, that people have changed and that they, and I hate to use the word angry, but not as involved in their community?
Apathetic.
Yeah, very good word. Yeah. People are more apathetic now than they were 15, 20 years ago?
I don't know if they're more apathetic, but I think what I see is it's more frustration, mm-hmm. and they don't know how to handle it, and so they want someone else to take care of it. And sometimes that works, and sometimes it doesn't. I think a lot of problems could be solved if you just talk to your next-door neighbor.
Yeah, there's a novel idea.
And rather turning them in.
Does that happen in the city council?
That we talk to our neighbor?
Yeah. You know, you're
Oh, yes and no. You know, because of the procedures in the state law, on the open meeting law, and because we have so many subcommittees, and there's four council people on a subcommittee, and you can never have a quorum to talk to each other in any of those combinations, it makes it very difficult for us to have a lot of discussion. You could talk to one or two of your council people who have to talk to one or two different people, so you don't have a lot of direct conversations. And you used to have a little more freedom. I mean, you were always cautious about it, but you could have a little more in-depth discussions than you do now, and I think the bureaucracy has a little more control.
Is that something that should be changed? Is that something that really is effective? Is it still the right way to do it, to manage things?
Well, I appreciate the open meeting law. I'm just wondering if the subcommittees, the way they're structured, couldn't be redone to give us better communication.
I would assume that cohesiveness is very important on the city council, whether you agree or disagree with your fellow city council people. Is there cohesiveness now, and is that something that you would really love to work towards? Or?
Oh, I think we always work towards it. We're not always successful. But for the most part, we respect each other. I mean, we can all have different opinions. And I know there's a particular councilman. He and I have gone toe-to-toe, but I love him. We just don't always agree on implementation. We have a very similar philosophy, but just implementation comes. He expects the boat
to deliver the message.
Yeah, on a dime. And city government is a very big boat to turn that
quickly. Titanic.
It is. And you could change policy, you can make things happen, but not quite as quickly as he wants it to happen. So, but we're making progress. We really are. I think there's a lot going on that we're improving, streamlining, consolidating, and making it much more receptive than it has been.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like I read like a month ago that there was actually a surplus at the end of the year from the city council budget. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
It would be nice if we heard that more often in the media. You know, I wish that we'd see that in print or on the news. And
I think that's incredible.
It's very, very frustrating for me that's not out there. Did you know that, Dave?
No, not at all.
You're an educator. You're involved.
Yeah.
I did not
hear that.
You would think that our finances have gone to hell in a handbasket in the city of Phoenix.
You can't say handbasket on the show.
We are going to handcuff you.
Well, at least I'm not giving a speech like the woman who won the Best Supporting Actress did last night.
Thank goodness.
I missed that.
Well, we don't want to talk about it. Exactly.
So what were you saying about the handbasket?
Well, I was saying that you would get the impression that our city budgetary means has just fallen totally apart, and yet we had a surplus. That's unheard of.
Well, we put a lot of effort into it.
Oh, I know.
I mean, we really have, and it continues. The employees have become very involved in finding ways to save money because they know their job very dependent on having the money to pay for their salary. Mm-hmm. And the council is very committed to really streamlining government. I think we all think it's got a little too large and a little too expensive, and we're trying our best to reduce that and to bring it back in line with where it was before, so that it's more responsive. So we're right on target. Our budget, I think, for next year, we're not going to have to make any more cuts.
Wow.
We're stabilized. We're within 0.1% of our projections. And we still are carrying a surplus.
That is amazing. Can you be a, maybe can be a model for other, you know, areas, you know, state,
the
city,
state
governments, right?
But Leanne is
actually,
so
we
correct.
Are.
You are.
Yeah.
So
we
people are.
Are
asking how you did it.
Right.
So specifically, how did you do that? I mean, you look at the federal government, you look at, you know, states and other cities, they seem like they can't do it. What made it different for you? How did you,
I think
did the council do
we
it?
We recognized the problem, stepped right up to the plate, made tough decisions, went to the employees. The employees agreed that they would take a reduction in pay or furlough days, and that's across the board. I don't care if it's police, fire, or neighborhood services, maintenance. My staff, we all took a cut.
Well, I think you did it early enough.
We did it
and
right at the beginning,
key.
And
yes.
that was
right.
it.
Yeah.
And we you know, we went to the public. We said, here's what we're proposing. Speak now or forever hold thy peace. They spoke. We did some changes based on their priorities and come back with a balanced budget, and we have lived with it.
Do you know what the irony is, Thelda? Is that the state legislators trying to get involved in our city to legislate how they have to do their budgets, and we have, what, $1 billion shortfall in the state government? The city has a surplus, and they're trying to dictate to you guys what to...
I know, it's too bad.
It should almost be the other way around. What can you do to help us?
It's amazing because it's always a struggle with the state, you know, because they do control a portion of our finances they collect and supposed to pass on. And we're always in fear, and we have to go down there and lobby very hard to keep what the... And it's passed by the voters like 4 or 5 times. You will pay the city's portion of these funds.
Which I really find it kind of funny because the state is always constantly wanting to keep the money from the feds.
Yes.
So if anybody should understand that, it's them that the city wants to keep their money as well. You know, it's just...
It's
a strange world, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
What's
do as I say, not as I do.
Exactly.
What's good for the goose?
Yeah.
Good for
yeah.
I was just going to say the goose and the gander.
Oh. You can say that on radio.
I know.
Yes, you can. We want to hear that. We got another couple minutes before the break. Some of the high priorities that you're working on now, and then we'll go into what the future will look like for Phoenix. But what are some of the critical things that you're working on?
Well, probably the biggest one right now is next year's budget. That will be published in a couple weeks, and we'll be going out holding district meetings, getting public input on it again. We're doing a solicitation ordinance. We've had a lot of complaints about people knocking on your door.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are scared or have had a bad experience, and so we're working on a way to help people feel safer in their homes. But, you know, it's a little tricky because it's also a freedom of speech, and people
yes,
have
is,
the
yeah.
right to solicit, and you don't want to kill small businesses or
right.
Girl Scouts selling cookies because,
exactly,
good
yeah.
heavens, we need those cookies.
Or
yeah.
politicians needing signatures.
That's right. Or,
that's right.
Or when I'm knocking to get your signature, I want to be able to get there.
Well, that was an experience in itself when Leanne and I were doing that during her campaign.
Uh-huh.
My nose still hurts from having doors slammed on.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Oh, we have off the air. We'll tell you a great story.
Okay.
Or maybe I'll tell it on the air.
No hand basket
no.
words.
So that one's coming before council within the next month. We've been working on a couple other issues. Whether it's public safety, we're working on some other things. We're talking about transportation, the corridors, prioritizing, trying to get MAG involved. Whether the priority for light rail is going to go north, south, or west. Mm.
For those who don't know what MAG is.
Oh, Maricopa Association of Governments, Maricopa County.
Just make sure everybody knew that.
Oh, sure.
That's all the cities in the valley.
And
it was a test, wasn't it? You wanted to see if I knew.
That's right.
I got it.
And when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Vice Mayor Thelda Williams, District 1, and, of course, Leanne Hall and Craig Dean. We'll be right back after these words.
FamilyValuesRadio.net.
1010 KXXT.
Tolleson, Phoenix.
Hey, looking for the real economic news? Tired of the same news stories all day? Then tune in every Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. to the Patriot Radio News Hour right here on KXXT 1010 a.m. Listen to your favorite right-wing wackos and where the blind leads the stupid.
By the way, I'm the blind.
No, I'm the blind one.
Am I stupid?
I guess that's it.
That's funny.
It's a show. This is how we do our shows. That's the Patriot Radio News Hour every Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. right here on KXXT 1010 a.m.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and I'm excited about my new home right here at 1010 KXXT, Saturdays from 7 a.m. as we talk about finance, politics, and the culture. Caution, we don't sit around the campfire singing Kumbaya. So catch me every Saturday at 7 a.m. on AM 1010 KXXT.
Are you earning 8% on your money? Hi, I'm Dan Cochimilio. I can guarantee 8% annual growth for future income. That's right, 8% guaranteed annual growth for future income that you can never outlive. It's your money, money that God has put you in charge of managing. Are you a good steward of your money? How do you know if you are? Do you know if your money is 100% safe from market losses? Is your estate planning as good as it could be? Are you trusting the answers to money questions to a person who doesn't share a Christ-centered worldview? I believe there are people out there who don't care about you as much as they care about getting your money. I don't operate that way. I offer free consultation and will help you with estate planning and show you how to double or even triple your money for retirement. My purpose is to help you secure your money. It's that simple. So call me, Dan Cochimilio, at 623-825-3900. That number again is 623-825-3900. That's 623-825-3900.
1010-KXXT.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Entrepreneurial Spirit, starring Leanne Hull, Craig Dean, and special in-studio guest, we have Thelda Williams, Vice Mayor of Phoenix and District 1. This is really an honor to have you here.
Oh, well, thank you. It's an honor to be here.
This is absolutely
fun,
isn't it?
You can only imagine how busy they all are. So it really is. It's special to be able to get their attention.
Do you know why this happened? Do you know why Thelda's here?
Tell us, Craig.
Because you did the windows on my house.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah, it's
that's how we
when
met.
One door closes.
No,
yeah.
I think it was because I walked into Austin's Who's Who one day and met Miss Leanne Hull.
But it started there. He is correct.
Oh, that's
and then
right.
That led to you, and then this led to her.
This
Isn't
is
it
very
amazing?
Cool.
Yes.
The connections
the
are amazing.
Stones.
You just never know where
you never know.
Who moved my cheese. Yeah. I was talking about that on Friday, that not only did my cheese get moved, but it's no longer cheese. So I'm having to totally re-identify.
Turned into pizza.
M&M's.
M&M's, yeah.
My search for M&M's.
So, Thelda, my question is, when a city has a surplus of 25, 50, 75 million, whatever, where does that – I always wonder where the money in government goes. Do you have your own banking institution? What happens to that money? Who manages it? And is it set aside in a rainy day fund? Or exactly what happens with that money?
Well, there's different options. And we have a contingency fund, which is our savings account. And unfortunately, it's become very low.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the option, if there is additional money, we could create new services, we could hire more police, fire, whatever the priorities are.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, because it's not that large amount of money, you consider we have over $1 billion budget.
Mm-hmm.
Having just 20 or 30 million is not enough.
It's pocket change.
It is.
Yeah.
And I strongly believe that we need to build a contingency fund before we go improve and increase services so that we don't get in this predicament again.
How large would you like that contingency fund to be?
I would like to see it $100 million.
Okay. Was it ever there?
No.
Never? Even?
I don't think it's ever been past 60 at the peak of the growing season, so to speak.
That's because everybody thought then that
it would never
end. Trees. Yeah.
But do you think the sins of politicians are that when all this money, and the state did the same thing, when all this money comes in, they see it as their money to spend?
I don't know. What don't you see it? But, you know, you have requests continually. People want more services. Mm-hmm. They want quicker responses, whatever. And I think when you're involved in politics, you want to make them happy. You do. And so you have a tendency, if you get an extra buck, okay, add that person because I want them to go out and I don't want there to be a five-minute delay. Or I don't, you know, mm-hmm. I want them within 24, whatever it yeah. may be. And I think you get caught up in that mode and you don't realize what could happen. And I think we have the experience now to yeah. recognize that I think that's a foolish approach. I think we need to be more conservative and, yes. and really mm-hmm. have money set aside.
Amen and, to that.
Yeah. And I think people understand now that maybe it's better to wait an extra day and you mm-hmm. have less taxes to pay.
Mm-hmm. So maybe that's what we've learned.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Thelda, tell us, what's a day look like for you? What's a typical day?
Oh, every day is different. I usually have appointments in my office, probably 5 to 6 hours worth a day. Every month I have, I think, 6 standing breakfasts mm-hmm. that I'm part of a committee or a special group that I attend. You get involved in other organizations, like I'm a co-chair of the Luke Citizens Community Group. I chair the Gateway Airport Authority, and there's others, and so you have standing meetings for those. And then probably 2 to 3 evenings a week I'm out speaking somewhere or yeah. with a group, and then Saturdays there's usually public events or something that I'm attending.
Like the grand opening up there on I-17 in Happy Valley of the right. Rapid Transit.
Right. You're involved in so many activities. And then as vice mayor, of course, if the mayor can't do it, I'm supposed to step in and make the speech or attend or cut the ribbon or whatever it may be. So that just kind of adds to it.
So how many hours a week is that? You're working a lot.
Oh, yeah, 50, 60 hours.
Oh, wow. Man.
It's a part-time job.
Yeah.
and that is how they describe it.
Really?
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
They
doesn't say even sound that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, they say you should have another job because you have extra hours during the week.
You know, yeah. A good friend of mine, he's the mayor of Peoria, and he works full-time at CAP as the mayor of Peoria.
No way. Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Now, Thelda, what do you interact with other cities like City of Glendale, mm-hmm. Peoria? And, you know, of course, there's a controversial thing going on right now with the City of Glendale that's near and dear to my heart.
Yes, because you're a big Coyotes fan.
Yeah, big Coyotes fan. So do you ever get involved? I mean, you don't have to tell us anything specific, but do you ever get involved? Do they ask for your advice? Do they ask for your support? Or I mean, how does that work? Or is that real political?
On that particular issue, no, that's their issue, and we're yeah. just thankful it's their issue.
Yeah, that's a tough issue. I
know.
They put
a lot of money into that.
They
between
really
them
did.
And the Cardinals.
A lot of money. And unfortunately, the development and what they expected hasn't occurred. And
yeah.
So they're in a very tough place. But on a lot of issues, yes, we do work together where there's mutual benefit, and especially like I work with Mayor Scruggs very often
yeah.
because. We share a boundary, a large boundary. And some places we share water resources and streets. I mean, you can't just put a fence up when you cut across the city line.
Yeah.
So we have to coordinate a lot of activities. And we have reciprocal agreements with the emergency services, mm-hmm. police, fire, streets, water. All of them work very closely with one another. So it works well.
That's good.
You just had the decision to make on raising the water rates.
Yes.
And a lot of that, you know, and I don't think people really understand maybe how that affects the bond rating for the city. Could you kind of expand on that and how important it is to have a high bond rating for the city, even if it means everybody has to pay a little bit more for water?
Well, City of Phoenix is very fortunate. We're one of the few American large cities left that have the AAA rating.
AAA rating.
And AAA rating means that you have a very low mm-hmm. interest rate that you pay on the money. And all bond money is borrowed money.
Mm-hmm.
And for the water in particular, in 2005, they approved a $1 billion bond package to build a new treatment plant, to put a water line under through, however you want to describe it, South Mountain, because Albuquerque on the south side had no water pressure.
Mm-hmm.
and it was becoming dangerous. Even the fireplugs didn't have good water pressure. The downtown infrastructure is nearly 100 years old, and there is over 7,000 miles of water lines in Phoenix. And, you know, we've always enjoyed being a young city. We've never had to worry about that. But lo and behold, we're no longer that young. And so it's time to replace a lot of pipes. And they spent the money. Well, that's fine, but now the bills do.
And now you have to sell bonds.
Now we have to sell the bonds. And if we didn't raise the water rates, the bond agencies were watching us very, very closely.
What did they want to drop the rating to, do you think?
I don't
know. B?
I think A.
A. That's a huge drop.
It would have cost us millions and millions of dollars of new interest because they had just downgraded the state of Arizona and the city of Glendale. And so we were on their watch list. And I called, I have friends or relatives in other major cities, and some are involved in the bond market. And I called and I said, this is what they're telling me. They said, oh, trust me, they're watching you.
Oh, yeah. You know, Thelma, most people don't realize it. And whether they have a 401k or their IRA money, when it's invested in mutual funds or things of that sort, a lot of that money is invested in the municipalities of cities, and that means buying bonds. And if all of a sudden these huge municipal fund, you know, whoever's running the fund stops buying money from the city of Phoenix because the rating's gone from AAA to B plus, B minus, even an A, that's a tremendous blow.
That's the challenge with when you have talking points from one party or the other party, and they're just standing on, this is our particular party principle without any information. You have to be able to, that's why I love the city and love the city council position, because it is a nonpartisan position, and you're able then to process things in a different way that typically you are not able to do in a party process.
You're able to look at the big picture without having one party pushing.
Instead of it's always no taxes, no taxes, no increases. Well, you know what? Sometimes
you get a lot of unintended consequences.
Yeah, we're in a mess.
We were in a huge mess.
Absolutely.
And this was the most responsible and least expensive way to get out of it.
I praise you for doing that because I've been an investor in bonds virtually my whole life, and it is so important, especially for people in Arizona, because if they buy an Arizona bond, it's state tax-free besides federal tax-free.
Exactly.
It's huge. And you don't want to run and buy bonds in any other state when you can support your own city.
And Phoenix has always enjoyed a very high bond rating and an excellent return on their investments, and we would not want to jeopardize this. I mean, that was beyond.
It was a pretty heated.
Oh, it's still. I should have seen the emails in my office. Why did you do that? Yeah. And it's hard to explain to people. I saved you money.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been seeing some of the emails and some of the groups that I'm associated with.
Right.
And, oh, you're a traitor or you're this or you're that.
Yeah.
Come on, you guys just don't have all the information.
You know,
and so easy to. One of the things that I really, really object to, and I spoke. You want me to be quiet?
No. I was watching Kurt give me the peace sign. Peace means 2 minutes.
Okay. Right. Well, one of the things that was really important to me is accountability with what you say and what you do. It's so easy for people to send emails or blogs and send them anonymously. You know what? If you've got something to say, you better have the courage to put your name on it and be willing to have a discussion about it. Or don't bother writing it. Don't bother saying it. Let's talk about it. Don't just send me an anonymous email.
I love to surprise people and respond to them.
Yes.
Yeah. And Thelma, how do you protect yourself as a human being from all these nasty emails and blogs where they get very personal?
Well, sometimes it's very difficult, and you do take it personally. But I try very hard just to do my best and do what I think's right and what's best for the community. And then you kind of have to let the chips fall where they may.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just say it like it is. You know me, I'm a pretty candid person. I don't have a good enough memory to lie. So it's just easier and, you know, they have the right to disagree with me.
It's so much easier to live when you don't lie.
No doubt.
It is.
Makes life simpler.
It does. It really does.
Yeah.
And most responses, before we go on our break, you know, it's emotional reaction to the one's current circumstance. So if someone's suffering financially and they say, oh, not another bill that got raised, they don't know the information. And behind the scenes with the bond rating, it's so critical. People don't realize that, how that can impact not just this year, but long-term, a city, it'd be huge.
When we talk about our grandchildren, what the city just did is protecting our
grandchildren. No question about it. So I honor and credit you.
Creating the image of what Arizona is like, too. You know, we really need to present ourselves.
Absolutely. Yeah. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with in-studio guest Vice Mayor Thelda Williams, District 1, and Leanne Hall. Craig Dean will be right back.
At Beer and Bomb and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. Where's our music? I love our music, and I don't even hear our music anymore. Oh, there it is. Okay. There we go. Welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Entrepreneurial Spirit, starring Leanne Hall and Craig Dean. Special in-studio guest, Vice Mayor Thelda Williams, District 1. Now, I really think it's great. Both Leanne and Craig, you brought it up, to have such sophistication in the city of Phoenix to understand the bond market, about how risk and reward goes hand in hand. And Craig, I think you said it, we're really protecting the grandkids right now.
Oh,
and
yes.
I think that's a credit to you, Thelda, and the council people, what's a hard choice sometimes.
Sometimes it's a very hard choice, mm-hmm. and because you don't like to make people unhappy. And two, I mean, people are suffering, and the last thing you want to do is cause them more of a burden. But you've got to look at the future and understand it's going to cost them a whole lot more, and it could ruin the city of Phoenix, this whole state for that matter.
And actually, it's interesting because I think when things are really good, even for individuals, when money is flowing in, you kind of make knee-jerk reactions. You go, oh, well, I'll get this, and I'll get that, and I'll get that. And then when it stops, it really does force you to become a lot more cautious and insightful. And
I went grocery shopping yesterday with my son, who's almost 15, and it was interesting because he noticed. He said, it was sure different the way we used to grocery shop, Mom. He said, we'd just go through here and we'd just fill this cart up. And he said, now we're watching, you know, what we get and what we do. And I looked at him, I said, and really, are you suffering? He said, no. No, but I mean, he did recognize that we've made some very different choices ourselves within our own, you know, personal grocery shopping. I think that was pretty amazing for a young person.
Well, that's what the city's doing.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah, making those hard choices. Mm-hmm.
And people can cut back without paying. I mean, the standard of living has gotten way out of hand in terms of living above your means. And isn't that what people have done, at least? And now maybe they're going back to where maybe they should have been, and probably cities are like
that. Unfortunately, I still think we learn by challenges, by adversity. I wish that we could learn some other way. I wish we learned just by reading books and learning from people that have gone through this in the past. But we don't seem to, I know that.
I know.
Yeah, we always learn the hard way.
That's what makes a tree strong, is the wind.
Yeah. Hey, there you go. I love that.
That's a good one, Kurt.
Oh, that's good.
Who taught you that?
I might like to use that, okay?
So what does the future look like for Phoenix? I mean, Phoenix is the fifth largest city, and what does it look like? What do you want to see happen, you know, 10, 15, 20 years from now?
What's the downtown going to look like?
Yeah.
I think the downtown will continue to grow. ASU has made a tremendous, tremendous difference. I think you're going to see it become an exciting downtown. I know you've heard that for 20 years.
I know.
But I think this time it's going to come true.
I don't think anybody cared in the past. I think they care now.
I do too. Yeah. And the light rail has made a huge difference. Mm-hmm. And I think the more that's expanded and the more connectivity we have to downtown, the more that will speed the process up. You know, I have a passion. I really want direct international air service to Phoenix.
So great.
And I have worked on that for many years and continue to work on that because Sky Harbor is our door to the world.
It's true. You have to go to L.A. if you want to fly around most of the places in the world.
Unless you go to London.
Mm-hmm.
British Air still.
Yeah.
Hoping very diligently. I do my prayers that Lufthansa will come back.
Was the Frankfurt, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've... They have the rights to fly to
Frankfurt.
And I'm trying to get one to Asia.
That would be
so how do you make that happen? What's the process of getting direct international service? I mean, describe the process. It's probably...
Well, actually, I was in on the very beginning because this is something I started when I was here the first time. I believe very strongly in it. I made staff make brochures on Phoenix because the first trip overseas, I went with them. To see how they were going to do the salesman job, and no one knew what Phoenix was. They knew nothing about us. They knew we
Cowboys
were in the
and
desert,
Indians.
Cowboys,
yeah.
Indians, and rattlesnakes. And so we literally had to educate them on what were the advantages to come here and what we had to offer, and they had no idea the size of Phoenix, or the market here, the companies that we have here that do international business that now ship their product to L.A. or Chicago to be put on a plane and flown, and which is one of our challenges because those industries really don't want to give up that market.
No. Right. Well, now they might give up, but think of the revenue it would bring into Phoenix.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to put you on the spot. You're in Frankfurt, Germany. Mm-hmm. Thelda Williams, you're representing Phoenix. Convince us why we should come to Phoenix. In German.
No.
Oh, now, I only knew about three words in German. It was, you know, thank you, goodbye, and where's the restroom? So.
Ich möchte eine große Bier.
I was going to say, Craig would have asked, where's the beer?
No, I want to know, how do you say hand basket in German? Okay.
Well, I was always afraid I'd cause an international incident. I was trying to be so careful. But, you know, you really have to educate them on what's here, and you have to get local support to get privileged information often to take over there and share with them. And I'm a firm believer if you're going over there, you got to fill the plane, not only the belly with cargo, but you got to have tourists. So you go to the embassies, you talk to the tourist people, you go to the major tourist agencies, work with the other cities in the state here to coordinate. Each person was doing their own little piece. There was no great coordinated effort. Because it all goes hand in hand. And you know, a funny thing about British Air, when the first things we got, you know what one of the biggest contracts was? Lettuce from Yuma.
Oh, my gosh.
You're kidding. No. Really?
Daily lettuce was flown. And that's what supplies the London market with their salads.
That's what you have to fill in the belly of the plane.
Wow.
Is that where the plane really makes their money, is in the belly?
Yes.
Yeah.
The belly is the money that pays the expenses. The tourists are...
The frosting
gravy.
On the cake, yeah.
Exactly.
Very interesting.
So, do you coordinate with other cities like Scottsdale and the surrounding areas to, like a total package, not just the city of Phoenix, but the state in general?
We do. Unfortunately, a lot of them have had to cut back on that, you know, with economic times. But There are just certain times you don't want to be competitive. It's a joint effort. And we do work together much more than we used to. Because, you know, coming here, bringing a plane in here, that's a huge, huge expense for a new route. You're talking, you know, what, $350 million for the plane? And not the expense of flying it in here. Mm-hmm. So you've got to have something established and connections made, whether it's filling the belly or filling the tour seats.
So, you know, as you're describing this, Thelda, it's interesting. It really sounds like just big business because, you know, marketing with the awareness that you're talking about, of course, sales. So you personally go there, you talk to them. And obviously, you got to run the city like a business. And it sounds like you've done a great job. Another question I have is with other states. I mean, how do you compete with other states to bring in big business into the city of Phoenix? Because I'm sure that's big on your mind, too, is getting other companies headquartered here or having companies land here, and not just land from an air standpoint, but operate here.
Well, right now we have an advantage. California is in such a mess it's to our advantage to go over and recruit from there. A lot of it depends on the state, too, on our taxes. We have, as a city, we have money that we can help with new employers, training, helping with employees, helping recruit. There's some things, you know, we have to be extremely careful. We don't give a lot of tax relief because we were sued, and that's considered a gift. So you have to be careful how you do that.
The gift clause
comes. And sometimes it's a real disadvantage because other states can do that.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So how do you compensate for that? I mean, that's got to be really difficult.
We have to be very creative.
That's a good marketer knows how to do that.
Yeah,
but we have
right.
a great workforce, very diverse. We have a lot of land. We're very reasonably applied. Taxes are lower.
Yeah.
So there's some real advantages to coming here, and it's just getting that word out and across and making the deal.
And that's what I've often thought is that the mayor and the council all really, really need to be great marketers. That's a huge part of their job, you know, is to be able to go and talk about your city and that pride that comes from everything that you're presenting to them and all the opportunities. I mean, I don't think we think of our mayor and our council people being marketers.
You know, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. And the skill sets involved, let's see, with Kurt, we have about a minute left. 2 minutes left. Oh, 1 minute. Oh, I don't know. I'm reading his hand gestures.
He's waving at you.
I saw that one on the freeway once.
Okay. Did you see the finger he told you with 1 minute?
Yeah, exactly.
Here come the handcuffs.
Well, I'll tell you what. When we come back from our break, we will continue our discussion with Thelda Williams, Vice Mayor, District 1, because I'm curious. I think, Leanne, you bring a good point up. What are some of the skill sets one needs to be a great council person? Mm-hmm. I think that would be enlightening, and we'll be right back.
Able to ensure the safe driving and productivity of your employees? I'm Kara Lee with GPS Heroes, and with our plug-and-play GPS device, you can set geofences, get speeding alerts, and a full report card each week with driver reports and mileage, all to your computer or handheld device. It's easy to get and easy to use, in real time, with no service contracts. Just go to gpsheroes.org/21 and order yours today. That's gpsheroes.org/21.
Is it important for you to develop a financial plan without the potential conflict associated with commission sales? As a fee-only financial planner, I am paid by you and only you, my client. I'm not compensated in any way by the recommendations I provide. Have you heard the phrase, people do not plan to fail, they fail to plan? My experience has shown that this is too often true when considering one's financial future. If you're ready to take action, call me, Bob Berger, Certified Financial Planner and Certified Divorce Financial Analyst, directly at 602-235-0336. We'll discuss your financial situation and review some small or perhaps large changes that will help you obtain the financial future you desire. Don't let the lack of a plan affect your family's financial future. Call me, Bob Berger, at 602-235-0336 for a free consultation. Again, Bob Berger, Certified Financial Planner, 602-235-0336. 0336.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. Welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Entrepreneurial Spirit, starring Leanne Hall and Craig Dean. And a special thanks to Felda Williams, Vice Mayor of
she
District.
She was great.
Phenomenal. Yes. That is very insightful stuff. And we are blessed to have such great council people.
We really do. You know, as wonderful as Felda is, Mike will be just as wonderful. I think we have some really great people on the city council. So I want to introduce Mike.
Yes, absolutely.
This is really an honor. I mean, I absolutely love it, because when you're in business for a lot of years, you have people that work for you. And Michael worked for us 30 years ago.
Yep.
I remember when Michael was 15, 16 years old.
No way.
Running up and down the stairs, getting cases of brisket and pastrami.
To be confused with your dog.
Did you know my dog's name was Brisket?
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Yeah.
And Michael had a tremendous work ethic, and his manager would ride him like crazy.
I remember Phil.
Yeah, you had pretty thick skin to work for Phil.
What was your favorite meal, though? That's what I want to know.
Oh, the brisket at Miracle Mile is the best.
It is, yeah. Isn't it? Yes.
Wow.
So it's been such fun for me to watch Michael grow up. And even before you got involved with the city, you were always involved, whether it was Chicanos para la Casa, Cesar Chavez, right, radio stations. He came in and he had one child. Then the next time he'd come in for lunch, he'd have another child. It was like every time he came in, he had another child.
How many do you have, Michael?
We have five children.
Nice.
Oh, cool.
Right.
What are their ages?
Oh, okay.
How old are they?
From 10 years old all the way to 2 years old.
Really?
How wonderful. Uh-huh. You know, one thing I like about Michael is he's a graduate of ASU, and he majored in religious studies.
Right.
You know, you always kind of remind me of a Jesuit priest.
Craig's like this every day.
Sign of the cross right now. Huh?
In your case, you happened to meet a very nice nun and made a family out of it. But so anyway, it's really great to have Michael on the show. And we just want to talk, because Leanne and I and Dave really love this city.
Yeah.
We love this city. And there's so many wonderful things about our city. And as you know, we've talked about the Phoenix Opera, our love for the opera. And that was really the first time we got to come up to your office and talk about you. And Leanne walked away and went, wow, he loves this city.
Yeah, and I think that's the challenge with just most everyday citizens, is they don't realize, first of all, that we can actually go talk to our council people. Mm-hmm. You know, that we have access to them, and that they really want to hear from us, and that they're people just like us. So that that's what we wanted to do here, is to give everybody an opportunity to realize they're just a stone's throw away, and you can go and have your voice be heard too.
And the name of the show is The Entrepreneurial Spirit, and strongly believe you don't have to own your business to be an entrepreneur.
It's a state of mind. It's not about ownership. Entrepreneurial spirit is a state of mind.
And you have that state of mind.
Yeah.
Give us your why about the city of Phoenix.
The why, huh?
Yeah.
Why are you doing this? Why
you know,
are you?
When I ran 3 years ago, I ran under the banner of, I believe in Phoenix. I believe in people. I believe in God. And I believe in community. And, you know, after 3 years, I still believe in all three. You know, I really believe that a successful person in life has to have three things. You have to have God first. your family second, and your community third. And you got to keep it in that order, because it's through the teachings of God that we learn how to respect and love one another. And it's your family needs to be second, because basically it's there for your support. So when everything else fails, your family's there to support you and to back you up in those rough times. And then the whole reason that we're here is to serve others, and that's the community part of it. So I believe to be successful in anything, if it's politics, if it's running a business, you have to keep those three key points in your life: having God first, family second for that support, and your community third.
Wow, what a statement. That is so powerful.
You know, it was kind of interesting. We had on Sunday, we had a guest speaker at our church, and he was talking about prayer and how prayer can, you know, we think of it as being a chore or monotonous or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he said, somebody said to me one time, so do you question that you're going to get up and take a shower every morning? That you're going to brush your teeth, or, you know, the everyday monotonous things that you do for your existence, and yet prayer should be the same way. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're talking about faith, and that you need your faith, because in times of crises, if you haven't built the foundation, you have nothing to resort to.
It's funny, because I went to church on Sunday, and there was an 81-year-old man giving a sermon. He's from a shelter in Montana. They have 1,100 acres, and they bring in wayward kids. And he said, I'm 81 years old, and my body is just, you know, I'm starting to get Parkinson's. My body's breaking down, but my mind is still tarp as a shack.
That's good.
Craig's a comedian of the show.
But, Leanne, I agree with you 100%. I mean, think about it. We have 24 hours. In those 24 hours, how much time do we actually make time for God?
Yeah.
And, you know, and sometimes you just think about it. God's in every person. And how many times do we just smile and just show that person that we care about? I mean, we're so busy. You know, even one of the big things is we're involved with right now is Take Back Your Neighborhood. And we're just telling neighbors just to meet their neighbors. Absolutely. It's just incredible how many neighbors nowadays, they don't even know who the person is living next door to them or across the street.
And they've been together, neighbors for 20 years.
20 years. Yeah. You know, it's so easy that we just drive up and we pop the garage opener, right. We drive in, close the garage, and we walk into our homes. We don't even know who our neighbors are anymore. So basically, this whole program about taking back your neighborhood is basically just reaching out and meeting your next door neighbor, meeting the person that lives across the street
from you.
You
become servants
for each
other.
How are you getting that message out? Yeah. How are people, how do they hear that? How do they know that?
You know, we just had a big crime summit up in South Mountain. We had over 200 people show up to it. It was just amazing. We had the police officers there, the commander from the precincts involved. We had all the different departments of the city. And we just sent out a newsletter out there, and we invited people. Said, this is your chance to talk to the commander of your precinct. This is your chance to talk to all the directors of all the different services, and that we as a city are here to serve you all. Mm-hmm. So come find out what resources the city has to offer you all. And many times people don't realize that we have all these different programs and services. Take advantage of it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, from graffiti busters to blight busters, we provide paint to cover up the graffiti for it, and we match it. That's the important part of it.
Wow.
They even match it. They have these machines that match the paint and all that. So you come down, you get training on how to use a spray gun and all that, and we provide you with the equipment and the paint.
You know, it's interesting, because I really think that we're on this earth to be servants.
Absolutely.
And when you become servants to each other, it opens your heart. It opens your mind. It does so many things. And I'm listening to you talk about God, and you're a politician.
Right.
Is there ever a problem for you feeling you have to be politically correct and not talk about God to your constituents?
Oh, no. I mean, that's who I am. I mean, that's my being. And I think that's what makes me different from most politicians. And that's what's sad, is that a lot of politicians are afraid to talk about God. But that's the way I was raised. I mean, if it wasn't for the church and my family.
Or they talk about it because it is politically correct.
Absolutely.
I have heard that many times.
So they really don't believe it. They just say the words.
I was speaking at an LD meeting recently, and it is a very predominantly Christian LD. And I have found some very unfriendly people at that LD, that particular legislative district. And so one of the times I got up there and I asked everybody, okay, I would like to have a show of hands. How many of you really would claim yourselves to be Christians? And almost the whole room, did they raise their hands? And I said, well, I suggest we all start acting like it then. You know, instead of just saying it, let's do it. So I've seen us respond in anger and say nasty things to other people. Would you do that to your neighbor? Like what you were talking
Absolutely.
About.
Mm-hmm.
I've told that to my kids. If you're going to flip someone off on the freeway, if they're your neighbor, are you still going to do that? So conduct ourselves like we have to look that person face to face when we get home.
And you know, Leanne, what's so important is sitting around a table like this and having a conversation. Because mm-hmm. when we sit down and we start to have that conversation, we realize that we have so much in common.
Yes.
We realize that we all want to have better neighborhoods,
yes.
safe neighborhoods. We all want to have good jobs. We all want to
have
the best education.
We all want the same thing.
Exactly. And it's until we sit down and we start to have those conversations, things happen. And that's in the business world also.
Mm-hmm.
And we call it customer service.
Exactly correct.
And that's one of the things that we strive at the City of Phoenix is customer service, is providing that customer service. And I believe that's why we're in the black. When the state's in the red now, the City of Phoenix is in the
black. We were just talking about that with Thelda.
Yes.
And
yes.
it's because we sit down. Once we get our budget, and we found ourselves 3 years ago, I was just elected, and I go, holy cow. $280 million in the hole, what are we going to do?
Right.
So we took it out to the streets. We took it out to our libraries, our community centers, our senior centers, and we started listening to individuals. And these individuals were saying, well, hey, we can help. We can volunteer. You know, you don't have to close our libraries or senior centers. We'll volunteer. Hey, we can fundraise. Hey, why can't we get some private partnerships involved? Why can't we do this and that? It's just amazing. Once we sit around a table like this and have that conversation, things work out.
What you're
How
saying is,
come the media? You know, we've talked, right. we said this to Thelda. The problem is the media doesn't even report on that.
Absolutely.
That's very frustrating. Mm-hmm. When Craig brought me and introduced me to you the first time, you know, I only knew of you from what I'd heard. You know,
right.
I didn't know firsthand. I didn't have a relationship with you. And I walked away from that meeting and I knew a different Michael than what the anybody else had presented that, you know, in my surrounding. Same with the media. Wouldn't it be the media should be hearing that the city
has a
surplus.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we need more programs
like this.
It's
a tiny little paragraph in the back of the newspaper.
Absolutely. You know, we need more programs like this. Programs that speak the truth. Programs that bring people around to have a conversation. Because what's happening now, and what's really, really sad, is that when you turn on the news nowadays, it's like entertainment.
Yeah.
It's not news.
No,
it's entertainment. It's about ratings. It's about selling spots.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's really sad is that it's not news anymore. How do we bring it back into becoming news? How do we bring back radio into having programs like this where people sit around a table and have a conversation?
Oh, my God, I have something to say. I have something to say.
Well, that is nothing new.
You know, the thing that changed my life was being on the campaign with Leanne because I've been a lifelong Democrat. Leanne's been a lifelong Republican. I managed her campaign. But we were able to have conversations and talk. And I found myself saying, geez, I never even looked at it that way. And she said the same things.
Yeah.
As a result, I mean, we now have this radio show. And this radio show is, and you just hit the nail right on the head. We can sit here and talk about anything you want, which is going to make this. What are you laughing at?
I have something else to say. Well, we did this little skit where we were sitting here and I said, and I pull him a little to the right and he pulls me a little to the left. And we joked because people were, actually they were fearful of that we could be a team and come from different points of view. But what I said is, you know, we want the same thing. We want a great city. We want wonderful things for our family, our children. We just may have some different processes of how to get there, but if we keep talking, we can get there.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. And
yeah,
this is why this radio show, in my opinion, my humble opinion, is very powerful.
No, absolutely.
Because we've had people on here from different political persuasions, and we sit down, when they walk away, it's kind of like there used to be an organization in Phoenix called Anytown, where you would send your kids up to Prescott. And when those kids
my oldest went to Anytown.
Yeah, when those kids got to know each other, they found they have much more in common than they have in differences.
So my observation, this is great, Thelda and then you, Michael, you know, you're bringing back sort of old-fashioned values, and we actually left Thelda with what skills are involved to be a great council person. And one thing struck me when you said it. It's listening. So you went out there. So tell us about these listening skills, which is unique, I think, in politics. Mm-hmm. A lot of politicians will sort of dictate what they want, maybe from lobbyists, I don't know, wherever. Yeah. But you're out in the community listening. Tell us more about that.
Well, you know, what's amazing is that once you get elected, all of a sudden you lose like 100 pounds. Everybody's saying, wow, you look so great. Your jokes are funnier. And, you know, it's just amazing that people are inviting you to dinner that would never invite you in the past. And it can really go to your head. Mm-hmm. So what I've done is I've stayed grounded by working at a nonprofit, the Cesar Chavez Foundation. And I believe that's what politicians really need to do. They need to figure out a way to stay grounded, a way that to bring them down to earth, to realize that you're not this superhero mm-hmm. or this so-called God or savior of all, that you're a human being and that you need to stay humble. So that's the way I stay humble, is that when I go to work at the nonprofit, somebody's saying, hey, Michael, the toilet's clogged up. You got to unclog it. And all of a sudden, could you imagine the city councilman unclogging your toilet? You know, that's what I do at my other job. Mm-hmm. So how do you keep humble and how do you keep down to earth? And then listening skills is so important, that you need to basically close your mouth and allow other people to speak. And I believe that's the problem with a lot of politicians, is that they have these great speeches and they really don't allow other people to have input. When I go out there, we have a chat 4 times out of the month, where my district is probably the largest district in the city of Phoenix. It's from South Mountain all the way to Thomas, from 7th Street south of the river all the way to Tallis and Avondale. Wow. And then on the other side of the I-10, it goes all the way to 22nd Street. Mm-hmm. So it's very diverse. It's half of South Phoenix, all of Levine, all of Estrella, a quarter of Maryville, mostly all of the historic districts downtown. Mm. So it's just amazing.
Urban poor, farming, rich, poor.
It's very eclectic.
So basically we have different liaisons. We have Joe Murphy that's here with us. And basically Joe takes care of the downtown, historic, and Maryville area of our district. So what we've done is it's about customer service. It's about when you call my office and you happen to live in that area, you'll contact Joe. And you'll always hear from Joe. Instead of hearing from calling my office and getting 3 different caseworkers, that person's always going to deal with the Maryville and Central Phoenix and Historic District. So I think it's about customer service, figuring out how to listen better and how to serve those individuals you represent. And that's what the key is.
And listening with your heart is what I'm
hearing. Absolutely. The interesting thing, my philosophy always was when I had the deli, when someone walked in the front door, I wanted them to walk out that door again happier that they were there for the day or for that lunch. So they have their problems of the world, but when they left, I wanted them to feel like they had a wonderful experience. I have a feeling that happens at your neighborhood meetings.
Oh, it sure does. And, you know, what we do is if we don't have the answer, we say, well, hold on. You know, next meeting we'll bring in the commander of the precinct. He'll answer that question for you. So, you know, you don't have to answer all the questions. You don't have to have all the answers. Mm-hmm. But make sure you bring the person that has those answers and that can provide those services. So that's what we do at our meetings. We listen and we learn a lot, too. We learn a lot from our community. And then what we do is we bring those services and those individuals that can provide those answers and those services to those individuals.
What's the biggest thing you've learned being on the city council?
Oh, it's just tough just basically everyone wants, they believe that the city has deep pockets, that we have all this money just to throw away, and that we just and that we're paying our employees over $100,000. That's crazy. I mean, that's not true. You know, and it's really sad is that one of my colleagues was out there saying all this, and I basically said, you know, it's not true, and you got to call it what it is. It's mm-hmm. a lie.
Yeah.
And it's really sad that you have city employees that are making $30,000 to $40,000 and getting attacked. I mean, individuals that are sitting under a tree eating lunch and somebody's driving by throwing a Coke can at them saying, you know, you're making $100,000 and you're sitting down on the job, blah, blah, blah. Or somebody shooting a bullet through a door of some of our mechanic union's office. You know, that's really sad.
Where does this perception come from, you think?
Well,
it's being the media.
Yeah. I mean, is that what you find? A lot of the media networks are raising these falsities.
They escalate. They elevate things. Absolutely. I really think rather than trying to solve problems because of the ratings, because
absolutely.
Of
right.
because it's just like, remember that song where it said you see the girl smiling when she's telling you who's died? Remember that song?
What
you
was that?
That's how people. That's what we see.
Mm-hmm. But we've become angry. It's right. it's very, very
not
sad.
Not us. We are powered by happy.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely. But that's you know, that, I agree with that 100%. But it seems this whole fear basing. We want to scare everybody into believing what we think they should believe.
Right. You know, I think what we need to do is look in the mirror and blame that person on the other side mm-hmm. of that mirror. Instead of trying to blame everyone else for our problems, mm-hmm. you know, we need to learn how to blame ourselves mm-hmm. and take responsibility. You know, I'm tired of individuals saying, well, why don't we have a better education system? Well, let's do something about it, folks, instead of pointing the fingers at people. You know, if we need more jobs, mm-hmm. yeah, well, let's do something about it. And it's programs like this that empower people. Mm-hmm. It's programs like this that bring people together to have that conversation. And really the ones that we need to blame is ourselves.
Absolutely. Because if you start empowering yourself, if you start, and I had this discussion with Ellen, because right. she gets very angry at the whole political system. I'll say, so Ellen, what have you done besides get angry? Get involved. And as soon as you get involved, it seems like...
yeah. I stood out there on voting day. I had turned my campaign pictures backwards, so it was the white part on the back, and it said, vote or shut up. Stop whining.
That's
stop
true.
Whining.
Yes.
And when I walk into a meeting and people are whining, how many of y'all voted in the last
exactly.
election?
Bingo.
And it's really sad
or
to
gone
see
to
only...
a neighborhood meeting or yes. a school board meeting or anything. Mm.
See, and it's really sad
it's
that
so
only
sad.
A handful of individuals raise their hand.
Especially in primaries. Because, you know, who votes in the primaries right. are the people on the far
extremes.
Right or the far left.
Absolutely.
Middle America stays home. So then our candidates become far to the right or far to the left. And people go, I'm not going to vote for that person. And so they don't vote.
And, you know, I'm really proud that, Leanne, that you just didn't give up, that you continue this talk show, that
Thank
you're
you.
Empowering other people. And that's what we need is true leaders. Because a true leader continues. It's not a person that just says, hey, I'm running for office. I don't win. Then you just get all mad and angry at the system. But you continue this talk show. You
Thank
continue
you.
This
program.
Do you
know
program. What place she took in the election?
Oh, tell him, Craig.
Yeah. She took dead last.
Thanks, Craig.
No, but
and that's the campaign manager.
And so who do we blame, Leanne? So we blame your campaign manager?
And I take personal responsibility for that. But what it says is you just hit the nail right on the head.
Right.
She didn't run home and start crying.
Right.
She went in her car.
I did cry that night.
Yeah, you did.
I did.
But after she was done crying, she said, you know what? I'm going to get right back up on my feet, and I want to make a difference in this city.
Right.
And that's leadership. And I was going to ask you the question, and you answered it before I asked, meaning how do you teach people to look to themselves first?
Right.
And I think part of the answer may be the leaders of the world can start to demonstrate that like you, Michael.
Oh, absolutely.
And what other ways can you teach people to look at themselves first before blaming others?
But you know what? It's individuals like yourselves that put those politicians or those community leaders on the spot. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're here as public servants. Mm-hmm. And that word servant, mm-hmm. we don't really serve that much.
No.
And we need to make sure that our elected officials become public servants, that we're here to provide, not to receive. And most of the time, the politicians are there to receive. Mm-hmm. But we should turn that around and have them serve others.
Do you know, I just had a firsthand experience with this. And just last week, I have a challenge with my daughter. And so I called my councilwoman, and it was a serious issue. I really needed help like that second. She didn't let me hang up the phone. She put me in touch. She put me on hold while she connected with the commander.
Oh, wow.
And we had a three-way conversation, and the commander had police out to my daughter's house within an hour. And it was city in action, and I loved it. I loved that they were accessible, that they wanted to help, and it was amazing experience for me to see that happen.
Well, you know what,
I
also
know how to say thank you. I wish I need to do that, and I
and I also want to applaud you all on what you're doing with the arts community.
Thank you,
because I believe that's really important. That a lot of times our children are going home to the television or to these PlayStations or Xboxes, mm-hmm. and they're losing contact with society.
Absolutely.
And it's really these basic skills of singing, of dancing and playing an instrument. It's that's what's missing, that interaction, right. That cultural
unfortunately,
aspect
we,
of it, right?
We wish the city were a speedboat instead of the Titanic.
Are
Titanic.
You coming out Friday? Any chance you can
come? I'm going to try to be out there.
Because we still want to talk with you. We have such a vision for letting the people of this country and this city and this state know what we have. I would just say, I was at the MIM Museum yesterday, went to a fantastic concert. That museum is so spectacularly beautiful.
And the Ice House. There's so many great places to go and so much to do.
Are you familiar with the Ice House?
Yes, I am.
I have to put a plug. I think it's the Phoenix Chamber Orchestra, if I'm correct. We went to the Ice House about a month and a half ago. It's on 4th Avenue in Jackson. There were a series of ice houses. One left, and it was this huge, huge building which used to house ice. And there was a stage on it. And there were 250 people in their chairs watching a performance of two harpists, a flutist, and soprano, $10. Wow. Every one of these musicians had their doctorate in music. They were wonderful. And I'm thinking, you know, I could be in New York or Paris or anywhere, but I'm right in downtown Phoenix, your district.
Well, you know what? It's amazing, and we need individuals like yourselves to promote that. We're the fifth largest city, and, you know, it's incredible. You go to New York, Chicago, L.A., and they have these districts, these art districts. They have different cultural districts. You come to Phoenix, and we really don't have that. We need to start creating that. We need to create these cultural districts, these art districts. You know, if it's cultural centers or whatever it is, we need to make destination points, not only for visitors coming into our city, but for our own kids to start learning about the diversity that's out there.
We're going to make a pledge.
What's that center called? The center, is it the Center for Latino Arts or Latino Arts Center there on Adams?
Oh, right, yeah. Wonderful art.
Oh my God. We're going to have a little concert there.
We want to do a fundraiser for the Phoenix Opera. They're tied in with the Latino community. We want to talk to you. Leanne and I will pledge to you, if you make the pledge back to us, that we will work our tushies off, or butts.
You can't say bread basket.
our rear ends off for this city to promote its arts and culture, because I believe we have so much going on in this city that people don't even know.
You have my commitment already.
All right.
Do you know that the Phoenix Opera, that they do seats for students?
Oh, I sure do.
I think
what they're giving back to the community. They go all around the city putting on free concerts and bringing, remember we were going to be at my house for Annalisa Hackett?
Right.
Michael, she was unbelievable. So there's so much much that we want to do.
You know, and with 3 minutes left, let me ask you.
That was the fastest 3 minutes in the world.
Let me ask you one question so we can leave our audience with this. What would you tell kids about politics now? You know, with all the cynics out there, with all the apparently corruption and all over high level politics, what would you tell kids so they're not discouraged? This is the future of the country. What would you tell them?
You know, I think that children need to experience it, and you need to spend a day with a politician. You need to spend a day. I mean, call my office and spend a day with myself, and you can actually see all the different things that we're able to do.
Can big kids do that too?
Oh, big kids can do it. And you know what's amazing about it is how many people you can actually serve, how many people you can change their hearts. And you know, I really believe that education is the key. It's through education that we're going to end poverty. It's through education we're going to end domestic violence and gang violence. And if we can touch the hearts and souls of the eldest child, I believe we're going to change generations to come. If we can get that eldest child to get a degree from one of our three universities, and I mean, it'll just spread like wildfire, and we'll change generations to come. And I think that's the important part, is educate yourselves. It's through the internet. It's through reading. It's by taking advantage of being mentored by yourselves.
We're going to be reading tomorrow in the Washington Elementary.
Wednesday.
We're going to be volunteering. We're reading
in the schools. Yeah.
And you're all politicians, because from that alarm clock that you choose, you have to make a decision. And that's a political decision. Am I going to buy this alarm clock or that alarm clock? So everything deals with politics. It's about how you're going to choose and make those decisions and how you're going to change the lives of other individuals.
You know, Michael, I am more convinced than ever what has made you such a great man was our brisket.
Oh, I'm telling you.
And we'll end with that, because the show now is, it's almost 4 o'clock.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you so much.
Thank District you. 7. And how do they get in touch with you if they want to?
You can call us at 602-262-7492.
Thank you so much, Michael. Leanne Hall, thank you.
Thank
Craig
you,
Dean,
Dave.
Thank you.
We'll see you next Monday.
Yeah, next Monday.
Gives
who
you faith
have?
In your city, doesn't it?
With, it does.
With Zelda and Michael.
Do we have who do we have next Monday?
Next Monday, we're going to have people on from a new business that Leanne and I have been promoting, and
It's a surprise.
Yeah, we can't tell
surprises. And this is Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac and, of course, Leon Hall, Craig Dean. Thank you again, Michael, District 7, Nowakowski. And we'll see everyone tomorrow with the Green Roundtable and the Bottom Line.
All right.